Vulnerable Parents in Family Proceedings, a podcast by Gemma Taylor QC for the FLBA. Welcome to this podcast on representing vulnerable parents in family proceedings. The ambit of this talk will include, firstly, types of vulnerability that practitioners might encounter within family proceedings. Secondly, identifying vulnerability. Thirdly, intermediaries. Fourthly, ground rules hearings. Fifthly, participation directions. And sixthly, the questioning of vulnerable parties by alleged perpetrators. Firstly, types of vulnerability. There is no definition of a vulnerable party in the family justice system. The dictionary definition of vulnerability is exposure to the possibility of being attacked or harmed physically or emotionally. All parents in family proceedings will have their own vulnerabilities. The fact that their lives are being litigated renders them vulnerable to a degree. This talk is about those adults who are particularly vulnerable, whether because of their own inherent physical, cognitive, or mental difficulties or disabilities, or because of the nature of the allegations that are being tested, or because the prospect of being cross-examined by their abuser renders them vulnerable. The obvious examples are those with physical disabilities, impaired cognitive functioning, or mental health disorders. But it is the hidden vulnerabilities that we should be aware of. For example, those who suffer from anxiety, who may be on the autistic spectrum, or have learning difficulties. Advocates should be alert to the fact that parties may seek to mask their vulnerabilities due to embarrassment or fear that being open may have a negative impact on their case. New rules allow for the appropriate focus at an early stage in proceedings on whether any measures will be needed to allow fair and equal participation in proceedings. As advocates, we have a duty to ensure that all parties are able to effectively participate fairly in proceedings. We must ensure that vulnerable parties and witnesses are able to give their evidence in the way that best tests its reliability, whilst allowing them to give their best evidence. This means giving evidence that is not undermined by their disability, anxiety, limited understanding, or any vulnerability because they feel oppressed by the court environment and how they are questioned. This is not just about good practice, it is about fulfilling our duty and the court's duty to ensure that every person is treated equally, whatever his or her disability or vulnerability. Each toolkit on the Advocate's Gateway contains the following statement. Questioning that contravenes principles for obtaining accurate information from a witness by exploiting his or her developmental limitations is not conducive to a fair trial and would contravene the codes of conduct. Second, identifying vulnerability. Before proceedings are issued in public law cases, the local authority should have already considered the vulnerability of the parties and/or particular witnesses and made adjustments to ensure coherent communication with that person. The local authority should consider what adjustments might be necessary to ensure that their procedures, as well as the proceedings, are fair. Local authorities have a duty to communicate with clients in a way that they can understand. Parents with learning disabilities should have advocates available to them at all stages of assessment and care planning and throughout their engagement with the local authority to enable them to participate fully at every stage. See Section 67 of the Care Act 2014 and the Good Practice Guidance on Working with Parents with a Learning Disability. Good practice should ensure that there is early identification of vulnerability in parties to family proceedings and the making of reasonable adjustments so that the justice system is fair. Once proceedings are issued, it is imperative that courts and representatives are proactive in identifying whether parties and witnesses may have communication difficulties and vulnerabilities and that a planned strategy is developed. There should be no let's see how we get on approach. Advocates should not assume that a party's vulnerability has already been identified and should bear in mind that environmental factors, such as being at court or in the same room as an alleged perpetrator may lead to an increase in vulnerability. The Advocate's Gateway Toolkit number 10 provides excellent guidance on identifying vulnerability and making reasonable adjustments. The issue of vulnerability should always be kept under review. It is advisable to have a conference at an early stage in the proceedings if there is any question about communication difficulties or vulnerabilities. Those representing vulnerable parties must raise issues relevant to their client's fair participation at the earliest opportunity. This may include making an application for directions or seeking an expert assessment. The need for expert cognitive assessment and/or an assessment by an intermediary should be identified and actioned at the first case management hearing. Thirdly, intermediaries. Advocates should not take it on themselves to decide what the communication needs are of any of their potentially vulnerable witnesses or parties. Where there is any doubt about a party's ability to give evidence because of their vulnerability, a direction should be sought for the instruction of an intermediary to firstly assess the party's communication needs and then advise professionals on how a vulnerable person communicates, their level of understanding, and how it would be best to question them when they are giving evidence. The intermediary may then directly assist in the communication process by helping the vulnerable person to follow what is being said in court, understand questions, help them communicate their responses to questions, and assist with court familiarisation. The HM Court Service may now fund the intermediary assessment as well as the attendance of the intermediary at court. Fourthly, ground rules hearings. Where the court has decided that a vulnerable person is to give evidence, it must hold a ground rules hearing prior to the hearing at which the evidence is to be given. Practice Direction 3AA, paragraph 5, sets out the matters to be considered at the ground rules hearing. The purpose of a ground rules hearing is to establish how someone who is vulnerable or has communication needs should be enabled to give his or her best evidence and participate in the hearing. If there is an intermediary's report, it should be discussed at the ground rules hearing. The ground rules hearing must involve trial advocates and the judge, and any intermediary who has been instructed. They take place as a form of discussion, taking into account any recommendations from the intermediary. A note of what is agreed should be made, with the expectation that the parties and advocates will comply. Fifthly, participation directions. As parties to proceedings, vulnerable parents may need special measures to ensure their fair participation in the proceedings, not just for the giving of evidence. Rules 3A.4 requires the court to consider whether a party's participation in the proceedings, other than by the giving of evidence, is likely to be diminished by reason of vulnerability, and if so, whether it is necessary to make one or more participation directions. Before making such participation directions, the court must consider any views expressed by the party about participating in the proceedings. It is important that those representing vulnerable parties give early consideration to the directions that may be necessary and obtain their clients' views. Participation directions may include having a secure conference room or separate waiting area, asking for the case to be given priority to avoid a vulnerable party waiting, allowing longer periods for evidence to be filed, allowing time for judgments to be talked through with the vulnerable party outside court, the provision of sign language interpreters or deaf relay where there is a hearing disability, the use of screens or a live link for all hearings, the use of stress toys, the use of clear and simple language in court, not just in the questioning of a vulnerable witness, and the use of breaks. Sixthly, the questioning of a vulnerable parent or party by an alleged perpetrator. At present, there is an anomaly in the family justice system. because vulnerable parents who have suffered abuse at the hands of their partners may be subject to direct questioning by them in court. This would not happen in a criminal case, and many judges have asked Parliament to rectify the problem urgently. Changes in legal aid funding have led to many litigants appearing in person in private law cases. This has led to the invidious situation whereby an alleged victim of domestic or sexual abuse is faced with being questioned by the alleged perpetrator of that abuse. This can constitute a form of abuse in itself. Recent decisions have confirmed that the court cannot direct the HM Court Service to fund legal representation to enable a father to have a lawyer to cross-examine a child who has made allegations of sexual abuse against him. The case of Ree K&H, 2015. And there is no power under the inherent jurisdiction to order a local authority to fund legal representation for a person who has lawfully been refused legal aid. HB versus a local authority, 2017. Advocates will need to have regard to the revised Practice Direction 12J, Family Proceedings Rules 2010 Part 3A, and Practice Direction 3AA, which provide guidance where evidence about domestic or sexual abuse is going to be tested at a fact-finding hearing. Advocates should also be familiar with the recent decision of Mr. Justice Hayden in PS versus BP 2018 that sets out the law and good practice very comprehensively. Mr. Justice Hayden allowed an appeal by a father against findings, where the trial judge had put the father's questions about rape and strangulation to the alleged victim. It is vital that the issue is considered at a ground rules hearing and directions made to ensure that a fair hearing is conducted. If the alleged perpetrator is not permitted to ask questions in cross-examination, consideration will need to be given to whether the child should be made a party and questions put on behalf of the alleged perpetrator by the child's representative, or whether the judge will ask questions of the alleged victim, which may be in an open and less adversarial style than that deployed in a conventional cross-examination undertaken by a party's advocate.